Okay, we continue in the Shaar Tshuva. We're in, still in the first gate. We're in Sif Lamed Ches, 38, in the, Feldheim text from page 50 and 51. And we're gonna start the 13th principle. Ha'ikr Hashlosh Asor. The 13th principle is, Lios Haveros Hakalos Chamuros Beinov. That if a person does sins that appear to be relatively light, he should treat them as if they were very heavy sins in his eyes. There's no such thing as a light avera. And he then says, "La'arba panim." There's four reasons why the person who's doing tshuva, when he looks at his averas and he looks at the apparently light averas, he should treat them like very strong averas. Even though he just finished in the previous principle to say, go check out and understand how severe certain punishments are. So you check out in terms of the punishments, you will see clearly there are stronger and weaker mitzvahs and averas, as evidenced by these different punishments. But a person should still have the view that even the weaker category of transgressions should be similar to the more severe category of transgressions. And he says there are four reasons for that. Number one, ho'echod, ki ein lo lahabit lekatnus ha'avera, avol yabit legdulas mi shehizir oleha. That you should not look at the smallness of the avera, but rather you should look at the greatness of the one who has warned you against doing the avera. Which means to say that all averos have a common denominator. The common denominator is the fact that you are doing something against the will of Hashem. Okay? We're talking about a person, obviously, who has the knowledge of what he was doing. We're not talking about a person who doesn't know. But you know what you were doing. So one of the greatest detriments that is created by an avera is the breaking of that relationship of respect and awe that the person has for God as being God and having to follow his will. So the common denominator of all averos is my relationship with God isn't strong enough or important enough or significant enough to me that I shouldn't have gone against Hashem's will. And ultimately, you know, it harms the relationship. So that feeling for Hashem wasn't strong enough. What does it matter how important the mitzvah was? It's the will of Hashem. The will of Hashem is that you should do every one of the mitzvahs. And there's a good reason why he gave you a mitzvah that you feel is not such an important mitzvah. He gave you that mitzvah too. And if he didn't think it was important, he wouldn't have given it to you. And quite often, you know, even when you look in marital strife, quite often the big issues of marital strife, you know, come out of little nothings. Little nothing. It's not like, you know, necessarily the husband was abusive or something like that. It was small things. You know, if a husband would forget an anniversary, you know, I mean, in the scope of reality, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, it's not like he's abusing his wife. It's not like he's cheating on his wife. It's not like, but it's the day we got married. Don't you remember the day we got married? And a lot of times the husbands may think it's a big deal. It's just another day on the calendar. I mean, I love her. I've been married to her for so many years. So what's going to matter if I remember or not? But, you know, the biggest fight can come just out of that. Why? Because that's important. It's important. So therefore, a lot of times, and it's usually a lot of the quarrels in marriage, it's a fight of wills. I want it this way, she wants it that way. So, you know, whose will prevails? And of course, the classic rejoinder. When asked why you make such a big deal about it, what do they say? It's the principle of the thing. It's the principle. The principle is way bigger than what happened. Right? So okay, so that's the same thing regarding Hashem. It's the principle. The principle of the thing is You went against God's will. So you say, well, what you have to say isn't that important to me. So then it doesn't matter how big of a deal it is. It's part of Hashem's will. So as far as Hashem's will, so you're going against His will. So that's the first reason why. So therefore, even a light Avera, maybe the Avera might be light, but the one who told you to do it isn't. Vashedi number two. Ke Yetzer Sholeit Bavera Sakalos. Because the Yetzer Hara really is able to rule us a lot in these small Averos. Vulai tiazo siba lahasmi b'hem, and this could be the reason why we continually do them. And then what happens is, v'az yechashvu gam heim kachamuros b'tzoref onish kopam. And now these light ones, they become heavy ones because we keep repeating them so often. He gives an analogy, umishlu al zeh michut shel meshi shu nir pevach alosh. Take a strand, a thread, which is very soft and weak, but then start doubling it over, tripling it over, keep doing it over and over and over, they become very strong. A piece of thread can become very strong if you keep doubling over it. So therefore he's saying, no matter how small the Avera is, you keep doing it, it adds up. It adds up. So it was only a 1 point Avera. We view it 1,000 times, it becomes 1,000 point of error. So it's just the sheer quantity of the repetitiveness. If it's a small thing, we just keep doing it. So it adds up and it becomes a big of error. And therefore, it isn't even small to begin with. I mean, to begin with it was small, but by the time you're done with it, it becomes big. So that's the second point. Hashlishi, the third point. The third point is kibah hasmadoso al avero. If you keep repeating the avero, nasas lo keheter, it becomes in your eyes permissible. The yifrok ulo me'alov, and then the person will throw the yoke of it from upon him. Lo yishtaremenu, he won't even guard himself from it. Ve'yechoshev, and then he will be considered imporke ol umomorim l'dov rechod. To those who remove the yoke and are heretics in the Torah for one thing, which is what Rabbeinu Yonah discussed in the introduction about why a person should hasten to do tshuva, because if you don't hasten to do tshuva, you keep repeating the averos, and it shows a lack of concern, and then you are put into the category, as the Torah says, someone who's a heretic for one thing is also considered a heretic. Which really means, you know, you don't believe in the program. And a person like that can lose his entire Olam Haba. So when we repeat the Averis to the point where we lose the sensitivity and understanding that these things are wrong, then the person doesn't even recognize he's doing anything wrong. And so what's happened to that person? So for all intents and purposes, he has deleted something from the Torah. If a Jew says, this is not a mitzvah in the Torah anymore, I believe in everything you say, Hashem, except for this one. This one I don't believe in. So he's a heretic. So if you keep doing an Avera over and over, how are you gonna convince the judge that you didn't not believe in that Avera? It must be because you don't believe in it. So then you're putting yourself in very dangerous territory. So that's the third reason why you have to look at these light things as big things. If we would look at these all as big things, then we'd say, oh my goodness, how could I have done this? Then you're going to stop. Varavi, and what's the fourth aspect? Kim nitzra hayom hayetzer b'davar katan. Because if the Yetzer beats you in a small thing today, yinatzchiu machar b'davar gadol. He'll beat you in a big thing tomorrow. It doesn't end with the one little avera. It's not possible to end with the one little avera. So the concept over here now is being on guard for not letting a breach occur. This is the point he's saying now. Once the breach has occurred, there's no telling how far the process can go. Right? That's what we see in this week's parsha with Lot. Right? What happened with Lot? It was a breach. Right? When we talked about Shaul Shuras last week, when did I talk about it? I don't remember. So Lot was a pretty good guy. If you look at Lot, he was willing to follow Avram around the whole world. When Hashem said Lech Lecha to Avram, which was a test, Lot went with him. He went with him. So he must have been a good guy. He's willing to go with him. And when he got back from Egypt, he was in Egypt, he didn't tell the secret that Sarah was Avram's wife. That was at risk to his life too, Lot. So he was an okay guy. So how does it happen that he ends up in stone? How's that mean he ends up in stone? It's from one extreme to the other. So if you look carefully, the Torah shows you, because it was that pursuit of wealth that got to him. Once he got wealthy and he wanted to have his wealth. So, then it starts with, if you notice, it's very interesting. It was one little innocuous part to the story. I'm just thinking about it right now. There's one little part. So there was a little fight between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Avram. Now what was the fight based on? The fight was based on that the Lot's animals, sheep went unmuzzled into other people's property. So that's called theft. Right? Is it grand theft? It's probably not the grandest theft, but it's theft. And the shepherds of Avram said, what are you doing? You can't go unmuzzled. Look, our master's sheep go muzzled. They said, what do you want? It's just Canaanites. And after all, God said that Avram is inheriting the land one day. And we know Avram's not having any kids. So it means we're going to inherit the land one day. So it's as good as ours now. So let's enjoy it now. What do we got to wait for? So that we'll call, let's say, the light of Avera. You know, and you got to remember, in the times that they lived in, that certainly, compared to what everybody else was doing, it was relatively light of air. It's stealing from a non-Jew. I mean, it's not good, but it's, So maybe that's what the Torah is telling us. Like, how could a guy end up in stone? Come on, it's like terrible. So you start with a small thing, and they did it consistently. So you open up the door. Once the breach occurs, as long as he's okay, he's with Avram and nothing got through, fine. But once the breach goes through, and that's what the servants of Avram were trying to stop right away. And I can understand why Avram said, we got to split apart. Because if he's letting such a breach go through, and the attitude he has, it's not like, okay, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't. It's like he really thinks this is what is okay. This is like permissible. So now he knew, he understood, okay, nobody can tell him what to do. So nobody can tell him what to do, then who knows what's going to happen with this guy. And that's how he ends up in, stone. Right? So therefore the efforts that one exercises to stay away from what's wrong to do, has to start in the very beginning. Because once a break occurs, and we're almost out of control in stopping the process that continues afterwards. And if you notice in the Jewish literature, the Torah is like very fanatical about not letting breaks occur. To not let the smallest, littlest break happen. Right? Because it's all a process. Once the breach occurs, it's just a matter of time till more and more. It's like if you have a corral with 613 sheep in the corral. Right? And one little, it's a huge corral. One little spot is open. So how protected is the whole corral? It's not protected at all. Once it's big enough to let one sheep out, it's big enough to let them all out. So once a person does the one avera and doesn't have a lot of concern over it, now if you do an avera, you're going to do tshuva, that's different. But I don't care. It's just this one I don't hold of. Sorry, Rabbi, this one I don't hold of. This extreme tznius, I don't hold of. This extreme, radical, comportment, of excellent behavior in shul, I don't hold of that, whatever. You don't hold of this one. It means the corral is open. Once the corral is open, there's no ending as to where it'll go. It's not gonna end anywhere. So therefore, he's saying this is the fourth point that it doesn't stop. That's why the Torah, the famous story with the story in the Torah with the Yafas Tor, when a person brings home from battle a Canaanite woman, the whole story is bizarre. The guy gets taken by this beautiful woman, and the Torah allows us to have him bring her back to his house. The Torah should right away say, no, finished. She's a shiksa, kill her like the rest of them. Forget it. You drink a cup. No, you bring her back. You bring her back, and this whole process, and maybe she can convert if after 30 days she really wants this event. So Rashi there says what? Why do we allow this? Rashi says, because if we wouldn't allow it, he would do it anyway. At least we're letting him do it in a permitted way. That sounds very, very strange. So in other words, the Torah is saying, well, it sounds like other aspects of other sects of Judaism that we frown upon. Well, if we're going to say they can't do this, they're going to do that anyway. So let's just say it's okay. And I'm sure this is a source for these other sects, this Rashi. So you got to understand what the Rashi means and what's going on over here. You know, the Torah is giving this allowance only in the case of war. In the case of war, as they say, war is hell. And people are not the most rational when they're in war. And for us to expect a person while in war, while it's mamish, dog eat dog. So now you become a dog. So the standards of the Torah are not really, cannot be enforced and legislated for people with dog mentalities. I mean, you're trying to survive, right? You're not thinking like a person. So when you're like a dog, so a dog gravitates to a beautiful woman. So the Torah's going to say, no, you can't do that. It's just unrealistic to expect under this not normal state of existence to say it's forbidden. But on the other hand, we can't make it permitted. So what do we do? So if the corral has an opening, so on the one end you could say, okay, we're going to shut it tight. Or what if you did it turn off? Maybe because I banged.
The battery. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you banged, it shut off.
Okay. Okay. Press it down again.
Get back in the corral.
It's on?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to not bang.
Not bang.
Sorry for that bang. So if you take the corral that's closed here, and let's say you make a bigger expansion of the corral, like this. Way big. Is the corral still closed?
Yeah.
Yes, but it's been expanded. So, in other words, the Torah was doing, if the guy in war can't have what he wants, or even think he can have what he wants, we're closing the corral tight, he's just going to break through. So what we do is we give him a little more room to roam. But you're keeping him in the corral. The Torah is expanding loosening the net. So there's a little bit more space to roam. Under normal circumstances, the corral ends here. You can't go past. That's already the out of permitted zone. But you know, when he goes to war, we'll give you a little bit more zone. But it's still, there's a framework of halacha with which he is operating in. So therefore, he doesn't feel he's broken the corral. So then he doesn't feel he has sinned. So in other words, the Torah, it's genius what the Torah is doing over here. Since it's a most unusual situation to expect a person under this drastic situation to behave to the standards like he should normally behave when things are calm and good. So therefore, and the Torah says, if we're going to hold him to the standards, the highest standards, at a point in his life where he cannot live up to them, he will view himself as a sinner. He'll view himself as someone who broke the corral. He'll view himself with a negative self-image of himself, because the worst part of an avera isn't the avera, but it's what you think about yourself. You say, what kind of a dog am I? So you know what? I guess Torah isn't for me at all. I might as well do all the other averas. Torah says, no. It's okay. When you go to war, we give you a little bit. You're still a kosher Jew. So we haven't broken the fence. But there still are parameters in that. We just don't think of what you want. It says, okay, you want her? Okay, could have her in 30 days. Could have her in 30 days. If she converts. But then we do a lot of things to make sure that she doesn't look appealing to him, and hopefully he comes to his senses within 30 days and he gets rid of her. Right? But that's the key. Once you break the fence, so it doesn't matter what you have to break you don't have to put a 100-yard break in a fence to let the sheep go out. 5 feet will do the trick. So no matter what that Aveira is, you will develop a poor self-esteem that you can't control yourself against anything. Yes, Oren, thank you for being so patient.
Well, those two parts of the Torah you brought up, I always had a question. First of all, the one you just mentioned now with the soldier. He's in hell. He's dog-eat-dog world. Isn't that? He's not going to want to take her for 30 days and let her cut her nails. That's not what he's interested in. As a soldier, I don't think he's interested in marrying her. You know, he's out there, he's fighting. Isn't that? I never saw this leniency as making any sense to the situation he's in. You might as well have said, no, you can't do it. You're not
going to
do that.
No, there's a lot. You see that in child raising. It, as long as it's not a straight no, and the person thinks he has a chance to have it, it's not looked at as so constraining. It's not. Listen, we can't go much further. We can't. It's not. Well, you can do whatever you want now. I mean, there is a machlokas in the Gemara if we allow him one time to. It's, but you know, the conventional understanding is not. But the guy, listen, you'll get her, don't worry, you want her, you'll get her. Okay, so that I know I can get her. It's about as much as we can go. What if the guy wants to just violate every law while he's there? Well, then we're sorry. So it's as far as we can allow the corral to expand. Okay.
And then the laws, I never understood that either. Like, the biggest criminal, even in prison, anyone who violates children or daughters and would let that mob have a daughter, what kind of...
Okay, that's off topic.
Okay.
that's off topic. Okay, well, this answers it, but it's way off topic.
Okay.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me that there is a very, very deep message in that Rashi that I never thought of before, because what that Rashi is saying is that Hashem will take the heart of a soldier, and since at this point you have to find the corral. But then what that Rashi is also saying is everywhere else in the Torah, and this is so relevant today, where people think it can't be done.
So yes, you're seeing from everywhere else the Torah doesn't give you leniencies.
Exactly. If there's a leniency here, then Hashem looks into the heart of a Jew, right?
So this is the only one.
This is the only one. Everywhere else, Hashem has looked into the heart of a Jew, and you can do it.
Yeah, it's a good point. Good point. Yeah.
So it would be fair to say that Israel's been in a state of war for 60 years, and the civilians are in war as well.
Not that kind of state of war.
Well, but you know, it's craziness there. I mean, you never know when there's a bomb's going to go or. Terrorists going to come, so maybe we should just expand the corral for all Jews in Israel, and that would be justification.
No, there's the heat of battle, and then there's being under general danger. Right, the heat of battle is from what I understand much different. You're going for weeks on end without taking a shower. You're slinking through the mud. You know, you're filthy. You're stinking. Right, it's like. And every second there's, you know, can imagine guy going into Jenin, you know, you can be killed any second, mamish. It's not, you know, that's a different type of being in battle as you're in Yerushalayim and maybe one day a terrorist is going to blow you up. It's not the same imminent danger. You know what I'm saying? It's not the same thing. There's a general threat to you. Okay, it's a general threat to you. I mean, you're right. It's done something to them. And if they would be learning Torah and they'd have more bitachon, then those things wouldn't be issues. Okay, so we cut them slack. We let them smoke. They all smoke in Israel because they're all in stress. Okay, we'll cut them that slack. Yeah, maybe the rabbis don't come so strong on them in Israel because they realize how much stress they're under. I don't know. But it's just not the same being, I mean, I'm not an expert. Listen, when you're They said when the guys went for, he told us, Lieutenant Birnbaum, he says when they prepared the soldiers for D-Day, I mean, they all prepared that they would have, within their equipment and uniform, you know, the wherewithal to house people's, losing their loose bowels. I mean, you know, literally, it's what's going on. When you have that threat of death. So that's not a normal, you know, dignified state of life. So you're not in a dignified state of life. You do whatever you want. But when you're under general threat, you know, I don't think we lose our dignity that quickly. That I think is the issue there. Okay, let's continue. So here's the Gemara gives an example from Chazal. K'moshe Amar Rav Seinu Zichrono Levracha, as our rabbis of blessed memory said, Kol ha-mishaber kelim b'chamosav, a person breaks utensils in his anger. Yehi beinecho ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. You should look at it in his eyes. He should look at his eyes as if he has worshipped an idol. That seems pretty far away. But shekach darko shel yetzar, this is the way of the yetzara. Hayoyim omer lo aseikach. Today he says, do this. Ulamachar omer lo avod avodah zarah. And tomorrow he tells you to avodah zarah. In other words, it's a slippery slope. Slippery slope. That's what we talked about with Lot. That's what it says in getting a Parshas Bechukosai. Bechukosai, Parshas Bechukosai goes through 7 steps. Starts in Bechukosai Lotei Lech. You don't go my path. And what does that mean? You don't learn Torah with vigor. That's the first step. So what's so bad? So I waste a little time learning today. I didn't come to learn today. No, you have to learn it without malice. You have to work hard. And then if you don't do that, and you start not doing the mitzvah so much. And then you start, you know, making fun of people who do mitzvahs. And then slowly, step by step by step, until you don't believe in anything. Where did it start from? It started by coming late to first, second Seder. Starts cutting classes. It doesn't start saying, go worship idols today. It says, you've been working hard. You don't have to go to class today. That's all. It's Friday. You don't have to come. It's a tough day. You know, whatever. It has to start you somewhere. Starts you somewhere, and then, okay, you did this, and we'll take another one. Take a little bit more, a little more. See, the Yetzer Hara is very patient. He's got all day long. As long as he wins by on the last day of your life, then he's a total success. He has a big advantage over us. If he can get you, right, you can spend your whole life, but slowly he's chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. And you've been doing millions of mitzvahs your whole life, but he's chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. So you come almost to the end of your life and you say, you know what? The heck with this whole Judaism. I regret ever doing it. Then you've lost everything you had. So he's got lots of time and he doesn't have to come with you like a bull in a china shop and knock you over and get you to deny Judaism today. He can wait 20, 30 years till he puts you away. And that's where, but it has to start somewhere. So it starts with this very small, relatively innocuous thing. The Nemar, now Rabbi Yehoshua is going to explain the give and take between Hashem and Cain after his first sin. And he's explaining this exactly what Hashem was saying to him. The Nemar, so what does Hashem say? After Cain's offering was not accepted, and he was very upset, Hashem says, Halo in teitiv se'es. What do those words mean? Perush means, why is your face fallen? Why are you so depressed? Hello, in teitiv ma'asecha, if you improve your deeds, and give me a better korban, it'll be nicer. V'tashuv elai, and you return to me, you do tshuva, se'es, I will forgive you. I will forgive you. Right? So what does that mean? Perish. I was giving you a perish. First gave you the simple meaning, I was giving you the deeper meaning. He says, Perish tisu fonecha means I will forgive you, right? Miloshon from the expression, kios tisu fonecha mimum. I will take off from your face the blemishes that have been created. V'yesh l'forsho miloshon slicha. We can also explain it as an expression of forgiveness. But now that's the first part. So if you improve your ways, I'll forgive you. Everything's going to be fine. But then the pasuk continues. But what if you don't try to improve your ways? What if you don't try to do tshuva? La pesachatas rovet, sin crouches by the door. Means to say, if you don't do tshuva on the sin you did. And again, let's look at the sin. Look at the sin that Cain did. Was it such a big sin? What was that there he did? What did he brought an offering. And it wasn't the best. So Hashem didn't take it. I mean, which one of 613 Averis was that one? 630 mitzvahs, which one is? It's not one of them. What was it? It was like insulting. It was like a subtle insult. He says, well, you know, you cursed the world, so here, you can take the garbage. You know, okay, so, it means he was distancing himself from Hashem. It wasn't one Aver that you burn in hell for. Wasn't really, it was a subtle mark. So God subtly said, I'm not taking it. Right? But Hashem already considered, so that was a pretty small sin. So what happened the next day? He killed his brother. You understand? So that's how it works. Yetzer says, you know, don't give him the best. Don't give him the best. And the other one gets it. Oh, can you imagine? Look at it. I wonder what my brother's thinking and this and that. He thinks he's better than me, this, and I have terrible self-esteem. He goes and kills him. So that's what Hashem says. If you're not going to do tshuva, what do you mean? I didn't do something so bad. If you're not going to do tshuva, it is. Sin crouches by the door. Lo ha'avon asher b'yodcha levado yoli nitcha. Not just the aver you have in your hand. Now you're going to go to sleep with. Ki ha'yetzer rovetz la'pesach. The yetzer is crouching by the door. La'achti oscha b'chol asher telech. You're sinning everywhere you go. V'notzeach oscha tamid. And he will beat you all the time. Achrei asher nitzach oscha. Once he's beaten you once. V'yakush l'cha. He lays in ambush for you. And the very fact that you've been captured and you haven't done tshuva, you're not trying to get out of that spiritual ambush, that in and of itself enables the ambush to continue. Okay, lecha tshukaso, and your desires will be, and his desires are to you. Means to say lehadichacha, to put you off the path. And he's ambushing you every moment. But you can rule over him. If you want to overpower him, you can. And therefore, therefore, you'll be punished for this sin. After I've given you the ability to conquer the Yetzer and you haven't, I will punish you for that. And that's similar to the, that's exactly the Pashup Shat in the Pesukim. He's saying, if you do tshuva, everything's going to be fine. And if not, the fact you've got one avera in the program, he's got you. He's going to keep pumping away at you. The corral's open. He's going to hit you and hit you and hit you and hit you till he takes you down. If you want, you can overpower him still. You could stop. He says, that's what you get punished on the sin after I gave you the ability to run away. That's similar to the concept the Baal Shem Tov says in the Pasuk in Tehillim. Right? Ki imcha haslicha. With you, Hashem, is forgiveness. Therefore, I'm afraid. What does that mean? He says, the fact that you do forgive me, you enable me to be forgiven. And if Hashem doesn't forgive us, okay, then, you know, I, what can I do? I did not bear, you're not going to forgive me. It's finished. There's nothing I can do. But Hashem says, I always will forgive you. You can always make it better. So if Hashem is telling me to make it better, and if I don't do anything about that, then I better be awfully scared. Hashem says, here, I gave you the way to fix it up, and you're not fixing it up. That's what Dovid HaMelech was afraid, that I didn't fix it up when he gave me the chance to fix it up, and who knows what's going to happen afterwards. So in other words, Hashem, hold on, Hashem understands for you, Hashem knows we'll make mistakes. That's not the problem, as we said so many times. A person's life is never, he's never in big trouble after you do an aveira once. Never, never, nobody in the history of the Torah got ripped apart because they did one avera. You don't find it anywhere in the Torah. It's only when the person doesn't hold himself responsible for it. Right? That's the problem. That's the problem. If we don't bother to correct the mistake, when given the opportunity to correct the mistake, that's what's really bad. Then Hashem says, then I'm finished with you. It's because you're finished with yourself. And that's when the problems begin. So all these subtle things, they really add up to big things. Yes, Oren?
Sometimes, some people not everybody goes like this though. Like some people have their madriga, they do what they do their few sins, and they just stay like this.
It's not true. Sure, that's not possible.
It is. There's people who do the same thing, they go to the same shul, they go to the same...
It's not true. It's not, I'm telling you, it's not true. They go to the same, and what about their kids? Yeah, that's 10 times worse. You know, the davening gets faster and faster, and then stops coming to davening. It's not possible, Oren. It's not.
They don't stop coming to davening. That's the whole thing. They do come. They come for 20-30 years. They come to make the same.
You know, I'm telling you, it gets worse. It gets worse. It gets worse. It's not possible for it not to get worse.
People like here, and they're happy here.
You know, it's not. It's not possible. They're thinking less and less of Hashem. You know, they, they started, you know, it's just, it's not possible. It cannot be. It cannot be. It has to come out in certain places. Okay, let's, one more paragraph. We discussed this in Lamed Tes. Just finish this up. Amar Shlomo Lo Vashalom, and this is what King Solomon said. Buzz Ladavar, if someone disgraces something, Yechavel Lo, in the end, he'll be damaged by the very thing he disgraces. Virei Mitzvah, but if a person is afraid of transgressing a mitzvah, Hu Yishulam, he reaches levels of perfection. That's the pasuk of King Shlomo. What does that mean? Ze, it's refer, Amar, he's talking about Ze Al Habaz Laver Sakalos. He disgraces the light of Eros. He doesn't hold them to be big deal. He disgraces them. That's a little of Eros, not a big deal. Ki Yechavel Lo, Min HaPanim Asher Zecharnu. What'll happen? It will damage him, as we've explained. That's what will damage him. The things he puts down, the not important averus, that's what'll take him in at the end. Virei mitzvah, but a person's afraid to go against the mitzvah. Shua yorei levatel mitzvah. He's afraid to nullify a mitzvah. Kasher yira me'averach amara. Just like he'd be afraid of any big avera. Hu yishulam. That's what King Solomon says. That leads to perfection. Hu misateid. El Agmul Hashalem. He's destined for the ultimate good reward. So Amar Rav Hasein and Sechon Lavrach, and this is what a rabbi of blessed memory said in Pirkei Avos, Vevizor b'mitzvah kalot kilchamura. Be very careful with light mitzvahs as much as the heavy mitzvahs. Vod Amar, it also says in Pirkei Avos, next page, Shemitzvah gareres mitzvah, a mitzvah pulls in another mitzvah with you, Vavera gareres avera, and avera pulls in other averos. Why? Sheschar mitzvah mitzvah. The reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. Uschar aver aver. The reward of aver is an aver. Meaning to say, if you do a mitzvah properly, you feel closer to Hashem. You feel good with Hashem. Do you want to do another mitzvah? It's just the aura around you is positive. If you do an avera, that itself creates a very negative aura. So now you have the negative aura. So what is the outcome of the negative aura of averi? You just do another averi. You're in that mindset. And that's what he's going to explain later on when he's in Tefillah, saying once you've done Aver, you've really darkened that relationship with Hashem. And once that's happening, then a lot of other things can happen. Just got to be careful about. Okay, no more questions. Okay, we can finish a minute early.
I don't know if you said this during the 10 minutes that my heart is walking. And